Way back in 1994, I accompanied my grandfather, Zatzal, to a wedding in the world of Lubavitch. It was, at the time, a who's who of the Lubavitch world, because the wedding was the marriage between the son of Rabbi Yehuda Krinsky, personal secretary of Lubavitcher Rebbe, and one of the most influential Hasidim in the Lubavitch world. And his son was marrying the daughter of Yosef Gutnik of Australia. At that time was worth a few hundred million dollars, known in Australia as Diamond Joe, for his success in mining and dealing in diamonds. And these two families were merging together in a very, very prominent Lubavitcher wedding. My grandfather was invited to attend, so I accompanied him along to the wedding. And he was seated at the rabbi's table right next to the dais. Alongside him were some other renowned rabbanim, now standing behind him just to assist. And I see the dais next door, the Baal Simcha is giving out dollar bills. Well, the Lubavitcher practice, give out dollar bills. Okay, very cute. I mean, I wasn't going to abandon my post to wish him mazel tov just to get a dollar bill, so I didn't. I come to the Shiva dorm that night on the way back, and people are talking about the wedding already, made the rounds. And they said, "Did you hear about the Gutnik wedding? He was giving out $100 bills to anybody who said mazel tov to him." And I, of course, immediately kicked myself very hard. That price, I would have gone over to mazel tov twice. Could have lived really well on $100 those days in yeshiva. Single guy, away from home, living off yeshiva food. Could have done very well for myself. But I didn't appreciate the value that was right there, just an arm's length away. And I therefore just ignored it, didn't take advantage of it. And I think back to that story as a very, very powerful Musar message, because so often there are literally valuables that are just within your grasp, an arm's length away, and it doesn't take more than a minimal effort to take advantage of it, to access it, to earn it, but we underestimate the value, significantly so, such that we fail to take advantage of it and we disregard that opportunity. L'mashal, give you an example that happens daily. Chazal tell us, Shabbos, Kuf Yates Amud Beis, Kol Ona Amen Yehesh Mirabba B'chol Kocho, Koron Lo Gzar Dino. Person responds, Yehesh Mirabba B'chol Kocho, Holkus Vashitosos doesn't mean with full kavana, doesn't mean bikol ram. But either way, all it takes to have a negative gzar din torn to shreds is just say Yehei Shmei Rabba with kavana bikol ram. Is that asking too much of us? And yet, how often do we allow that opportunity just to slide on by because we're daydreaming, spacing out? Perhaps we're too late to minyan to make it to hear the first or second Heshmer Rabba. It's so accessible. It's so readily available. And we just disregard it. Same Gemara Shabbos Kepides. Kola Ona Amen. You respond Amen. It's even less effort. Less effort. Like it's a fraction of the length of the Heshmer Rabba. Kola Ona Amen B'chol Kocho. You say Amen with Kavana and out loud. Poschen Lo Shara Gan Eden. They open the gates to Gan Eden, which means after 120 years, we'll be climbing all those stairs, to quote a contemporary songwriter, and we'll get to the gates of Gan Eden, and they might be, you know, past closing time. Sorry, pal, gates are closed. He'll be banging, 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 and the next guy walks by, gates swing open, he walks right in, they shut again. He's like, hey, how'd that happen? Oh, he answered amen to the brachos in davening, and you didn't. That's going to be a real downer. I'd be kicking myself pretty hard if that was what kept me out of Gan Eden. that I had the opportunity to answer Amen, just failed to do so? For what reason? Because I was daydreaming, spacing out, late to davening? Is it really not worth the effort to answer Amen, Yehesh Merabah, B'chol Kocho, to access that valuable, valuable reward that awaits? So what's pshat? Why is it that we don't as often as we should? Pshat is because we underestimate it. We don't appreciate the value of it. You look at a bill, you think it's a $1 bill, it's a $100 bill. You think, Yehesh Merabah, Amen, okay, big deal. I say it, I don't say it. We don't appreciate the value of it. To quote the Gemara in Brachos, first parak, the Gemara says in Daf Vav, on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Krum Zulus Livnei Adam, Eil Devarim Shebnei Adam, Mizalzlim Behem, it's Devarim Ha'omdim Barumah Shalolam, a reference to that which is so exalted, so sublime, so, so significant, and we're Mizalzal in it. Why are we Mizalzal in it? Because we don't appreciate the value of it. What does that refer to, says the Gemara? Refers to tefillah. Refers to tefillah. Devarim ha'omdim b'ruma shel olam u'bnei adam mezalzlim behem. Refers to tefillah. We fail to appreciate the significance of tefillah and all that it comes with. Why? Why do we underappreciate tefillah? Baal Shem Tov says very simply, because deep down, subconsciously, perhaps, there is a little piece of us that questions, does tefillah really work? Deep down, there's a little question mark somewhere in the subconscious that questions, does tefillah really prove as effective as we would like it to be, as we think it is? And if we question, even subconsciously, whether tefillah is as effective as it really is, well, then it will be mezalzel. We won't treat it with the same degree of significance and value and appreciation that we should, because we don't fully, whether it's subconscious or not, fully appreciate how tefillah is so effective. Why? Well, maybe once we daven really intensely for a refuah for someone, for a yeshua for someone, and it didn't appear as if that actually occurred. And so we kind of subtly, subconsciously allow ourselves to unfortunately think, well, yeah, tefillah doesn't always work. And so we're mezalzel. We're mezalzel. However, a very, very important yesod to explain why that is not correct can be found in this week's parasha. Beautiful, beautiful pshat. Pasuk says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to himself, Kiviyachol, Hamechase ani mi'Avram, asher ani oseh, how can I conceal from Avram that which I plan to do to Sodom? After all, says the Pasuk, Avram, hayo, yiyel, goy, gotov, asim, is going to be a huge, great nation. How can I not tell him about Sodom and my plans for destroying Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks himself. And the obvious question here, which Rashi is bothered by, is what is the significance, the connection between Hashem's plans for Sodom and Avram being a great nation? God says, how can I not tell Avram about Sodom? After all, Avram is going to be a great nation. So for what? What does that have to do with telling Avram about Sodom? You hear the question? Very powerful Pashut Pshat question. What's going on here? God says, I've got to tell Avram about Sodom. After all, he's going to be a great nation. So what? How does that explain why you need to tell him about Sodom? So Shem Shemfinkas has a beautiful yesod, such a critical yesod. Listen to this very carefully. A gevaldig yesod with regard to tefillah. Says as follows. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that when he tells Avram about Sodom, what's going to happen? Avram's going to daven. Of course. That's what in fact did happen. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu also knew that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was not going to accept those tefillos because Sodom wasn't deserving of Yeshua at that point in time. But Avram was still going to daven, still going to persist, still going to daven, still going to daven. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, so to speak, how could I not tell Avram about Sodom? He's going to daven all those tefillos, and they won't help with regard to Sodom, but they will be put to good use with regard to Avram's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He's going to be the father of a great nation. He's going to have so many needs for those tefillos. He'll have so many ways to put those tefillos to good use. He might have been davening for Sodom, and that particular request might have been denied, but the tefillos that he davened don't go to waste. They'll be used for his benefit, for his children's benefit, grandchildren's benefit, for the nation's benefit. Every and any tefillah someone davens, even if it doesn't result in what we want it or think it should result in, but the tefillah is used for our benefit, ultimately, in ways that perhaps we might not always appreciate. But that's the sort of tefillah. Tefillah always works. Might not work in the way we thought it would work. Might not work in the way we planned or hoped it would work. But tefillah always benefits, always works. Every tefillah is never, never a wasted tefillah. I'll give you one beautiful example, which not always are we zochet to see the benefits of tefillahs that we think don't work. But this is a beautiful story. My brother-in-law, Rabbi Eitan Feiner, was at a Shefa Brachos a couple years ago. And the speaker, the one at the Shefa Brachos, was a friend of the family, second grade Rebbe, local Yeshiva Day School. So he gets up and he says, let me tell you a story about two boys who were once in my class, second grade boys. And at recess one day, the rest of the class is playing, and these boys are davening, saying Tehillim. Kind of unusual, young boys, recess time, saying Tehillim. Somewhat sweet, somewhat unusual. So Rebbe said, I asked one of the boys, why saying Tehillim? He said, well, I'm davening, Rebbe, because my mother's pregnant and I wanted to have a baby boy. Okay, that's very sweet. Says another boy, why are you saying Tehillim? Well, I also want to have a baby boy. Okay, very cute. They wanted a brother. Davening, wonderful. So sweet. 3 days later, the first boy is playing. Second boy is still davening. He says to the first boy, what happened? He said, well, she had a girl, but she's cute anyways. I like her. I'm happy. So he's davening. He's playing. He's no longer davening. He's okay now. Turns to another boy, why are you still davening? He had a baby ready. I know, but it was a girl. It wasn't a boy. And I wanted a boy. So the boy's still davening, still saying to him because his prayers weren't answered. He's still davening for a boy. So the Rebbe then turned to the audience and he said, that second boy who was still davening is tonight's chasan. And that baby girl, that's the kala. Beautiful story. Sometimes you have zochet to see in retrospect how, you know, you're davening. You think it doesn't work. I wanted a boy, a baby boy for my friend. It's okay. It feels worked. More than you ever imagined. You got yourself a wife, ultimately, out of it.
Is it Rabbi Yeshua? Was it Rabbi Yeshua in this
word? I don't know. I'm not sure who it was.
I
don't know.
I already told the same story. It was told.
So if I finally heard this at a Shavuot Brachos, when it was at that Chasson College Shavuot Brachos. So not always are we zochet to see how the tefillos work. But the Yesod of Pinkus is that tefillos always work. Always work. And so we should never lose the opportunity to take advantage of the koach ha-tefillah. And Avram in this week's parasha as well. It's fascinating when the Gemara tells us that Avram was mesaken tefillas shacharis. What's the source? Avram, getting up in the morning. Alamakam sha'amad sham. But this was in reference to what? He had just davened for what? For Sodom. And it didn't work, so to speak. And yet he gets up again, davens again in the same place. The very source for tefillah, Gemara Brachos tells us, is from Abraham, whose tefillos for Sodom, it would seem, did not work. But Abraham davened yet again, same place, the next day, despite that superficial appearance of the tefillos not having worked, because one has that emunah that every tefillah is valuable, every tefillah works. And that is the makor for tefillah shacharis, from those tefillos. Whether you think you understand why or how it helped or not, but we daven all the time with that faith, that belief, that tefillos are always, always so, so effective.